Appreciate the choir sharing in that number with us. Jesus never fails, and certainly an appropriate hymn as we our song as we begin our Dream Big series. We've been talking about this series for about a month now, and I'm excited that it's finally here. Excited that our prayer and share triplets, many of those have formed. Some of you are in those. We'll begin meeting this week and praying as well. And at the end of the service today, we'll actually have a sheet that you can take with you, which kind of asks you questions based on the sermon and help you to kind of spark some of those big dreams you have for the Mechanic Grove Church. So that'll be available for you at the end of the service. And so today we're kicking it off with a message entitled Strategic Powerful Prayer. Strategic Powerful Prayer, based on Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And I think it's most important that when we begin this series that we talk about prayer, because really prayer is the foundation for what's going to make this preaching series, this season in the life of the church, a great success. So I came across this quote from a gentleman named Lewis Galloway when I was preparing this sermon, and he said this. He said, "Preaching about prayer is like falling into the ocean. We cannot touch the ocean floor. We are overwhelmed by the vast sea around us. We come up and stay afloat. No matter how hard we try, we cannot reach the depth and the breadth of prayer. But we can continue to be buoyed by prayer even as we explore its mysteries." And that is so true. We certainly believe in prayer. We are a praying church. And yet there is so much more to prayer that we're just kind of touching the surface this morning as we look at that. Our text is Luke chapter 11, and we're going to listen as Jesus teaches us about prayer. And one thing we can say about Jesus is that he understood prayer. He modeled prayer, and he taught his disciples and us how to pray. So a couple things to remember as we begin this message today is that whatever we understand about prayer, it's pretty elementary. And whatever our practice of prayer is, well, we can all agree it needs improvement. And whatever the content of our prayers are, we can be assured that God sees the heart. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. They had marveled at Jesus, how he was able to get away from the crowds and spend time alone in prayer with the Father. They wanted to pray like he did, very strategically, very powerfully. And so they asked him to teach them to pray. And he responds by teaching them what we call the Lord's Prayer. So let's go to school on prayer today and learn from the master teacher Jesus, Luke chapter 11, beginning with the first verse and reading through verse 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." Then the one inside answers, "Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Here ends the reading of God's holy word. The first point in this we see in this text comes right out of verse 1. And it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And the point is this, that is, Jesus believed in and he practiced prayer. Jesus believed in and he practiced prayer. Follow Jesus through the pages of the gospel and you will see a man of prayer. He prayed at his baptism in Luke chapter 3. He prayed before choosing the 12 disciples in Luke chapter 6. At the time of Peter's confession in Luke 9, on the Mount of Transfiguration in Luke 9, Jesus prayed. As motivation for cleansing of the temple in Luke 19, and of course we are familiar with his praying in the Garden of Gethsemane as he agonizes about the cross and the crucifixion that awaits him. No wonder the disciples asked him to teach them to pray. In fact, this is the only record of a request that Jesus teach someone how to pray. They obviously saw him going off and praying, and they saw how prayer empowered his ministry, how it kept him energized for the work that God had for him. And they saw that, and they marveled at it, and they wanted to have that same kind of work in them. They wanted to know how to pray, just like Jesus. There's a story early in the ministry of Jesus from Mark chapter 1. Jesus and his disciples, they leave the synagogue and they go to Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law is there and she's not feeling well, and Jesus heals her, and then she gets up and they have a meal together, and then everyone from the community starts bringing people to the house, the sick, the lame, those who are demon-possessed and so forth. And Mark tells us the whole town gathered at the door. Gathered at the door, and Jesus met everyone and healed each one of them. I suspect this was probably a pretty lengthy line, and that's probably went well into the night as Jesus was meeting with one after another and laying a hand on them and praying for them and healing them. And after an exhausting day of ministry like that, you would expect for Jesus and his disciples to be wiped out. You know, take it easy. Take some time off. You'll be all right to sleep in the next day. But Jesus didn't do that. Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. After a full day of ministry, after worshiping in the synagogue, healing in Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and all these people who come lined up to the house well into the night, Jesus gets up early in the morning and goes off to be by himself so that he can do what? Pray. Talk about the importance of prayer. Jesus realized how significant prayer was. And so the disciples go and they find him. And when they find him, they say, hey, Jesus, you need to come back to the house. The people are lining up again. And Jesus says, no, fellas, that's not why I came. We're going to go to another village, and I'm going to preach there. Jesus didn't come to start a healing ministry. He came to bring the gospel, to bring the kingdom of God on earth. And he had to go and preach in other villages. And I believe that prayer time early in the morning helped him to keep focused on what his mission was. So when the disciples tried to say, this is what you need to be doing, Jesus, he said, uh-uh. I'm not going back to the house. We're going to the villages instead. The example of Jesus over and over again, taking time to be away, to be in prayer with the Father, I think deeply impacted these disciples to the point that they wanted to know how to pray. Just like Jesus. They wanted strategic, powerful prayer. So one of the disciples asked, Lord, hey, can you teach us how to pray? And so Jesus does, and he gives us the model prayer, which, of course, we know as the Lord's Prayer. And that's our next point this morning, is that Jesus gave us the model prayer. And he didn't just give it to the 12 nearly 2,000 years ago, but he gave it to all believers. And not that the model prayer should be the prayer that we pray every time we pray, but it has elements of what should be in every prayer that we pray. Jesus said to them in Luke 11, 2-4, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, For also we forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Let's make a few observations about this model prayer. First of all, it begins with Father. Abba is the word in the Greek. Begins with relationship. Our fathers. When my kids were little, if they wanted something, they would ask for it. And if we said no, they might jump up and down and have a fit and try and get us to be motivated that way. But what I really love is when my kids would ask for something, and if we did said no, they might come and sit on my lap and put their head next to my chest. And at that moment, what am I going to do? I'm going to give them anything they want, right? Why? Because of the relationship. Because of the relationship. That's what Jesus is saying here. Father, Abba. That's what we want. We want the relationship. The prayer of recognition, hallowed be your name. In other words, holy is your name, Lord. We submit ourselves to you and your holiness. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, a prayer of submission. The kingdom of God is here now, but not in its fullness. Not in its fullness. We desire God's kingdom, God's reign in our lives, and certainly we desire God's reign in our world today. It's a prayer of trust. Give us each day our daily bread. Daily bread is our needs, right? Not our wants, our needs. Many in the first century and many today live each day wondering if they'll have enough to eat today. Give us our daily bread, our needs for today. Trusting God for food and clothing and shelter, for health, for everything we need daily. And it's a prayer of accountability. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. It's also a prayer seeking deliverance, and lead us not into temptation. This is a recognition that we have God's presence with us daily, and that He will be with us and lead us and keep us from temptation. And when we are tempted, we know that He will be with us so that we can draw strength to resist the temptation. This model prayer is powerful. It is strategic because it places our lives in the Father's hands. And friends, there is no safer place to be. So Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer to be a prayer that we pray. It is a model prayer. So let me ask you, do your prayers engage your relationship with the Father? Do your prayers recognize His holiness, the work of His kingdom? Do your prayers give thanks for your daily bread? Are you readily seeking forgiveness in your prayers? Are we asking for deliverance from sin and temptation that so entangles our lives? What I think Jesus is trying to model for us is a prayer away from treating God like a sort of a spiritual vending machine. You know what a vending machine is? You put money into it and you push a button and you get what you want. And too often we treat God like that when it comes to our prayers. This is what I want, God. This is what I need. Really? Are we treating Him like a spiritual vending machine? Vending machine prayers expect immediate results. And God tries to treat God as being at our beck and call. But true Christian prayer trusts God and knows that it's about the relationship. It's not about the things that we're praying about as much as it's about the relationship. That we're going to trust you, God. Even when the answer is no, or even when heaven is silent, we will continue to trust you. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus gave us this model prayer, which is, of course, we know as the Lord's Prayer. But in verses 5 to 13, he expounds even more on prayer that helps us to understand that we can have strategic, powerful prayer. In verses 5 to 8, Jesus tells a story about a man who has a guest arrive and doesn't have food to present for him, and he goes to his neighbor and pounds on the door at night and tries to get his neighbor to give him some food so that he can present it to his guest that has arrived. The man says, "Go away, and I'm in bed with my children." And he keeps pounding. He's not going to give up. And the text tells us because of the man's boldness, this friend, this neighbor will get up and give him as much as he needs. What point is Jesus making here? Simply this. Jesus asks us to ask audaciously. To ask audaciously and often. Audaciously as a word means boldly. Ask boldly and often. We think we're pestering God with our prayers. We're not pestering God. He delights in our prayers. Just as a child knows no boundaries in asking a parent for the desires of his heart, we should ask God boldly as well. And of course, that story reminds us, the man kept requesting food and was unashamed, and he was persistent. We follow the example of the foodless man and think of our prayers sometimes, and we can be embarrassed by them. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I've been praying about this for so long, but God doesn't seem to be hearing that prayer, or he keeps saying no, or whatever. Keep asking audaciously and often. He delights in our prayers. Friends, strategic, powerful prayer is always asking God boldly. Often it's asking for a miracle, and we've all been there where we prayed for a miracle, whether it's for ourselves or for a loved one. Many times those answers don't come as we like. But strategic, powerful prayer is bold and audacious. It's a big ask. But we serve a big God who promises to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Jesus adds in verse 9, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened." What is Jesus saying? He's reiterating the same point. Ask audaciously and boldly. Continue to ask. Don't give up. Keep praying. Each of these powerfuls are saying the same thing. It reminds me of a story that Paul Harvey told on his radio program years ago. A young boy went to the grocery store with his mother, and she put him up in the cart, and he sat in a little child's seat while she wheeled down the aisles. And he was doing just fine until they came to the cookie section. And he saw the chocolate chip cookies, and he stood up in the seat, and he said, "Mom, can I have some chocolate chip cookies?" She said, "No, you're not going to get any chocolate chip cookies. Sit down." So he sat back down. They continued down the aisles, but in their search for certain items, they ended up back in the cookie aisle again. "Mom," he said, "can I please have some chocolate chip cookies?" And she said, "I told you that you can't have any. Now sit down and be quiet." And finally, they were approaching the checkout lane, and the little boy sensed that this may be his last chance. And so just before they got to the line, he stood up in the seat of the cart and shouted in the loudest voice, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" And everyone turned around and just laughed. And some even applauded. And due to the generosity of the other shoppers, the little boy and his mother left with 23 boxes of chocolate chip cookies. I got one more point to make for you here, friends, today, and that's this. Lastly, Jesus promises that the Father delights in hearing and answering our prayers. He does. He delights in hearing and answering our prayers. Jesus says, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give good gifts to those who ask him?" The point is this: Jesus promises that the Father delights in hearing and answering our prayers. He desires to give us those good gifts. He really does. William Barclay was a biblical scholar, a New Testament scholar, and he said it this way. He said, "If we do not receive what we pray for, it is not because God grudgingly refuses to give it to us, but because he has something better for us." There's no such thing as unanswered prayer. The answer given may not be the answer we desired or expected. Even when it is the refusal of our wishes, it is the answer of the love and the wisdom of God. So when the answer seems to be no, that's when we need to lean in and trust the love and the wisdom of God even more. Jesus says, "Pray and ask, and God will give us the Spirit. And that's really the key to strategic, powerful prayer. It's being filled and being led by the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Friends, I have many books on prayer in my library. And one of my favorites is by David Jeremiah, a book entitled Prayer, The Great Adventure. And Dr. Jeremiah says in that book, he said, "I scoured the New Testament some time ago. I was looking for things that God does in ministries that are in ministry that are not prompted by prayer. Do you know what I found? Nothing. I don't mean I had trouble finding an item or two. I mean I found nothing. Everything God does, he does through prayer. Prayer is the way you defeat the devil. Prayer is the way you get the lost saved. Prayer is the way you acquire wisdom. Prayer is the way the backslider gets restored. Prayer is how saints get strengthened. Prayer is the way to get laborers out to the mission field. Prayer is how we care and cure the sick. And prayer is how we accomplish the impossible. What we do for the Lord is entirely dependent on what we receive from the Lord. And what we receive from the Lord is entirely dependent on what we are praying to the Lord about." Wow. I think those are great insights from Dr. Jeremiah. Friends, I love my church. I love my church because we believe in strategic, powerful prayer. That's why we pray for the sick. That's why we pray for the mission of the church. That's why we pray for our community and the needs that we are aware of, mission work that's happening throughout the world. C.S. Lewis once said, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He laughs at our work. He mocks our toil. He fears nothing from prayerless efforts, but he trembles when we pray." Will you join me in making the devil tremble? Let's make this a season of prayer as we pray consistently, strategically, and powerfully, just like Jesus. The next 6 weeks, we're dreaming big. You'll notice the Dream Big board is out there already in the gathering area. And if in your prayer time, God gives you a dream from McKenneth Grove Church of the Brethren, come and write it on the Dream Big board. Don't have to put your name there. Just write that dream there. And my prayer is after 6 weeks that paper will be full of dreams, and we've had to put another paper up. That would be wonderful. But friends, those dreams aren't going to come if we're not praying. And so if we truly believe in strategic, powerful prayer, it begins today. It begins in this season of the life of the church. And we're claiming the promise from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, that God will do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Immeasurably more. Think about that. Immeasurably more than we can ask or even imagine. What's another word for imagine? Dream. Even more than we can dream. So no matter how full that paper gets out there, if we fill two papers, God can do it all and then some. Because he can do immeasurably more. So friends, no dream is too big for him. Let's pray. Let's dream big. Let's engage in strategic, powerful prayer in these next 6 weeks together. Amen. So be it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us today, and thank you that Jesus modeled prayer for us and taught us to pray. And Father, may this be a season that is bathed in prayer as we dream big, as you reveal to us your dream for McKenneth Grove Church of the Brethren. Pray for the prayer and share triplets that'll begin meeting this week, Lord, as they come together in a smaller group and pray. But Lord, each of us can engage in this season by being prayer warriors, effective, strategic, powerful prayer warriors. So thank you for your word to us today. Might we be encouraged to follow the example of Jesus and pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.